Hey everyone, welcome to the third installment of my podcast. It's called Bad Vibes. I'm your host, Julia, and I discuss all the things that we can't explain and give us that uneasy feeling. Today I'm really excited to talk to you about something I've thought about so much this past year because I bought a new car. It is car curses. They say your car is the second most important asset you own after a house, but no one my age owns a home. So this episode is about how car curses can actually be creepier than your home being haunted. I want to talk about the unluckiest color, what I think is the unluckiest brand, and I want to talk about a crazy love story. So let's dive right in. The first thing I want to share is a personal story of a coincidence that I thought was pretty weird. So a few months ago, I had been searching for a car for so long, like an Infiniti or an FRS, just something sporty, fun to drive, but I couldn't find anything. So what do? I decide to go to a local dealership where I spend a hellish 7 hours settling for a 2015 Mazda 6, and the interest rate was crazy high. It was a terrible experience, and I left, and you know, the battery wouldn't even start. It was so many bad signs that I just ignored, and not even 500 yards from the dealership, I got in a head-on collision with what else but a Mazda 6, a black one. And the car was totaled, of course, and I have an FRS now. But I thought, what are the odds? And then I really got thinking about what a coincidence of all the car brands and how it was a Mazda 6 specifically. And it just really got me thinking about what other cars are unlucky. So I was researching, and of course I found what I expected to find, which was a Porsche. I knew that a lot of celebrities in my lifetime, especially Ryan Dunn and Paul Walker, had died in a Porsche, but I didn't realize that there were many other celebrities who have died or also been in a serious accident where they have lost control of their Porsche. And you think all the way back to James Dean, who at 24 died in Little Bastard, which was what he nicknamed his 1955 550 Spider. And he had just bought it a week earlier, and what is so kind of unsettling about this is he had warnings that this car had bad vibes to it. It felt sinister. His friend, actually, Alec Guinness, said that he didn't like the look of it. It looked sinister. And he warned James Dean, don't drive this. Well, about a week later, he was driving in California in a more remote, like, farmland area, not a lot of traffic, out of the city, but he had gotten a ticket the same day for going 10 miles over the speed limit, going 65 in a 55. And that same day, later in the day, he crashed into another car driven by a college student. He died almost instantly, and something really weird was done with his car. It was decided that they would let it tour the country as an example of why you should drive safely. And another thing that is ironic is James Dean, just a few months earlier, before this accident that killed him, had done an advertisement for highway safety, and it essentially said that you should slow down, it's not worth it, and this happened. But it wasn't just his death that is connected to this car. There were so many crazy deaths afterwards with people who transported it or touched it or took a piece and used it in another car. Even the person who was transporting it for this highway safety demonstration, the driver of this truck lost control of the tractor trailer carrying James Dean's car, and as it crashed, the Porsche fell out, crushed him to death. And this was actually the last example of terrible deaths that met people who just touched it. George Barris, who is the creator of the Batmobile and had a custom shop in California, said that whenever it arrived at his shop, it rolled off the truck too fast and crushed the mechanic's legs under it. And not only that, but parts taken from this car caused the death of Troy McHenry, who was using the engine in a race, and he hit a tree and died. During the same race, another person named Will Estrich, he, during the same race, he had parts from the car in his car, and he also crashed and was seriously injured. The owner of the car, who I mentioned earlier, George Barris, had enough, and he gave it to the California Highway Patrol so they could use it again to demonstrate highway safety. And during one of the first demonstrations to a group of high school students, it actually fell off the truck and crushed his hip. And George Barris had enough. He was having it transported to a garage in Fresno, and it just went missing. And no one has seen it ever since. But in the past few years, this man from Washington State has came forward and said that he remembers being 6 years old, and his father and friends organized the theft of James Dean's car, and it was behind a hidden wall. And it took him all these years to remember it and come forward, but that is pretty much the only information we have about its whereabouts. Just as a rule, my last podcast was on imprinted energy. When a traumatic event at the end of someone's life happens, it stains everything around it. That energy, it can never be erased. And there's another example of this more recently. When Ryan Dunn died, is very tragic, and it's very fresh still and very memorable. But someone had an ad on Craigslist. It's long taken down, but he said that about a week after the crash, he went and collected parts from the wreck in a shoebox. So nothing big, but, you know, screws, pieces, miscellaneous bits. And he said that he feels so bad, and his life hasn't been the same since he took it, and he is just trying to get rid of it. And then similar parts showed up later in 2014 on an eBay ad, and it was crash parts from Ryan Dunn's car for $300, but it's unclear what those parts were. But that energy is so bad and disrespectful to the person whose final moments were the crash site. So just do the right thing if presented with the opportunity, and don't take anything. Kinda like it's not yours to take. Okay, something a little less heavy now, but equally interesting: green cars and why I wouldn't buy one. So green cars being considered unlucky is something I only recently heard of, but the origin story goes back all the way to the beginning of when cars were mass produced, to 1911, whenever one of the first race car drivers ever in Syracuse, New York, his name was Lee Oldfield Knox, like what a 1900s name. He was driving a green car, and he lost control on the track. He crashed through a fence, killing 11 spectators of this race and injuring 10 more people. And it was considered the greatest auto accident of the time. Of course, because there weren't any other accidents, but it's such a major tragic event, and it left a legacy. People thought about green cars again, not even 9 years later, in 1920, when one of the Chevrolet brothers, Gaston, he won the Indianapolis 500 with this car a few months earlier, but he was in California. At another race, and he crashed into another car on the track, head-on collision, and died. And his brother, Louis, swore that he would never race again because of his brother's death. And over the years, this legend of green being the color you do not want for a car has permeated other aspects and facets of culture, like driver Mario Andretti never signs in green ink. There was a one of the first NASCAR drivers in the 60s. I believe his last name was Walker. He had his socks change color from blue to green one day when it rained, and he changed socks before the race because he didn't want to be wearing green, which is really interesting. And even a more modern example, Jeff Gordon said that he has had some bad luck when he was sponsored by nicotine and had a green car. He said that he didn't do so well and also suffered some back injuries. So that's another thing to think about. And even more relevant, this past year, rapper Offset wrecked his green Dodge Challenger SRT, which was green. He crashed into a tree, but he lived. So is there something to this one, green cars being unlucky? I know that nowadays green cars aren't really mass-produced and they are more of a specialty color, kind of like a limited edition type thing. But there are a couple theories behind this one. One of them is that just the cultural significance of green being forever associated all the way back to the Middle Ages with jealousy, spiritualism, greed, and excess, and just bad things. That's part of it. Also, scientists think that green might be the hardest color to see when it's dark and there's background light. Thirdly, not only is it hard to see, but in the daytime, green is the most relaxing color, and the human eye kind of tunes it out. And so I was reading blog posts by people who said that they did feel like their green car was unlucky, and a theme I kept noticing over and over again was they said that when they had a green car, they felt invisible, which supports that other drivers just kind of tune you out. And there's a little bit of data to support this on a nationally published survey about cars that break down the most. Gray was first, but green was second. Now, for the last part of today's podcast, I want to share with you what I think is a clear and definite example of curses and how they work. It's the story of Jane Mansfield and how she died after being cursed by the founder and head, and who is described as kind of like a goth Hugh Hefner, Anton LaVey. He was this figure in the 60s that was incredibly popular. He was a personality, like well-known, and they both bonded over their love of attention and public validation and approval. So I will start from the beginning about Jane. Jane Mansfield was so beautiful. She was talked about as the next Marilyn Monroe, and she really was considered just like the, you know, stereotypical standard of beauty. She was the greatest Marilyn Monroe copycat, which is this article in Vanity Fair by author Jordan Hoffman from October of 2017, which discusses this documentary called Mansfield 66/67, which were the two final years of her life. And she was at the tail end of her career here. Her heyday was really at like the end of the 50s, and by 1966-67, she was pretty much just doing promotional events and making appearances at nightclubs and bigger things like that. She had been well into her career at this point, had several very public marriages, affairs, falling outs, all that. In 1966, she was actually in this custody battle over her fifth child with her third husband, and she just had some crazy stuff happen with her family and just staying in the public eye in the past year. One of the occasions where she called on Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan's, help after they had met and become friends is when her son was attacked by a lion at a zoo, and it was a really severe attack. He had to have like 6 hours of brain surgery, and Mansfield asked Anton LaVey if he could do anything about it. So he goes up to this tall hill and does a spell and, harnesses those powers. And Jane's son makes a really quick and unexpected recovery. So she was so thankful for this incident. And later in time, she is hanging out at his house more frequently, and he has feelings for her. He says, "Stop dating Sam Brody." So Sam Brody is Jane Mansfield's attorney, who is also married at this point to someone else. So it's really messy and unclear. But Anton LaVey was really not a fan of Sam Brody and all of this drama. So he tells Jane, "Stop seeing him, and if you don't stop seeing him, I'm going to put a curse on him, and he's going to be dead in a year." And Jane, of course, didn't fear this at all. She continued to see Sam Brody, and in that year, they were actually involved in six accidents together, six individual separate incidences. And all of them weren't too serious, and they escaped relatively unscathed until the seventh accident. So one night in between appearances, Jane Mansfield, Sam Brody, and her driver and three kids were driving from Biloxi, Mississippi to New Orleans, where Jane was going to appear on a morning show the next day. So shortly after midnight, east of New Orleans, actually, there was a mosquito truck that was spraying, and it left this fog in the air. And just everything came together to create this horrific and brutal crash that changed highway safety. So because of this fog, her driver didn't see this tractor trailer, and not only collided with the back of it, but it was a smaller car. It was a 1966 Buick Electra, and it actually went up under the tractor trailer, immediately killing slash decapitating all three adults in the car. But fortunately, the three children in the car lived because of the height difference, and one of those children was Jane Mansfield's daughter, Mariska Hargitay, who grew up to be Olivia Benson on Law and Order. She was in the car and she lived. She was only 3 years old at the time. But because this was so tragic and so shocking and so sudden, it changed highway safety. Tractor trailers now had to have a Mansfield bar, or like the safety bar slash grate at the back, so that no car can get sucked under in the extremely brutal and tragic way that Jane Mansfield died. And it really was such a tragic loss. She had five kids and was known for being super smart. It's unconfirmed, but reports say she had an IQ of 163 and spoke five languages. So that is all I have for car curses. And if you enjoyed my podcast and how I present it and the content, make sure to like it, share it. It's on all major platforms, and I'll see you next episode.